His love for us. In fact, I want to do something with you a little differently this morning than we have done. Many of you are familiar with responsive reading, right? How many of you are not familiar with responsive reading? Threw a curveball at some of you. Responsive reading. I'm going to read a statement, and we're going to have on a screen another statement that I would like the congregation to repeat, to read together and to repeat. And we'll do a few of these, and then I will move into our sermon time. But it's fitting for our service today, for our scripture today. And I want us to be more involved, because I want to see how you feel after you say the things that I'm going to ask you to read that are on the board. So I'm going to ask that you stand with me in regards to this. And I will begin. Are you ready? All right, I'll read, and then I want you to put your heart into this. I want you to be loud and vocal. I want you to be personal with it. Okay? Here we go. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
We have never been in bondage to anyone.
Whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. A son abides in a house forever, and the son makes you free. Then do the works of Abraham. You seek to kill me. You do the deeds of your father.
We are not born in fornication. God is our father.
You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Father, thank you for this day and for your blessing in it. Thank you for the truth of your words. And I pray, Father, as we contemplate these statements, we contemplate how they apply to our own life and how we see you in relation to our life. And I pray, Father, that you will open our eyes and our ears to see and to hear, and our hearts to receive. We give you the glory. We ask for your strengthening, for your healing, and for your joy. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. The reason I started with that this morning is because I wanted to try to stir that moment within you as if you were in a crowd standing before Jesus. I have been talking with you about questions that God has asked of creation, and over the last 7 weeks, counting today, we have looked at very specific questions that God has asked of his creation, of men. And today we have another question to look at, and I'm going to be reading to you from John chapter 8. I'm not going to ask that you stand with me again, but if you'd like to turn with me, it'll be John chapter 8, and I'll begin reading in verse 42, and I want you to hear these words. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, For he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear, because you are not of God. What a kick in the stomach that must be. For that group of people standing in the presence of Jesus, he was teaching them and he was trying to talk to them about who he was and who he is. And they were rejecting him left and right. And from within the crowds that were standing there, you had these responses that we began with this morning. You were the participants. It was as if you were standing there, as it was intended to be, as if you were standing there in the presence of Christ and you were responding to him. He said, if you abide in my word, I'll make you free. But we have never been in bondage. Well, anyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. But the Son who lives in the house, the Son can make you free. Abraham is our father. Then do the works of Abraham. Why are you trying to kill me? Well, we were not born in fornication. God is our Father. How progressive can a people be in their rebellion against God? Standing face to face with Jesus and taking a rebellious stance with every point that he made. It wasn't just then. It still happens today. We rebel against God. But my question for you today is this. Do you listen to God? Do you care what God has to say about life and about love and about himself? Do you believe what he says to us through his words? Do you believe what Scripture teaches us? Do you believe that it is God that is speaking to us? I want you to hear these words. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. This is what God's word is to us. This is what it means to us. We can't escape God just because we don't read his word. God is. And he has given us his word to help us. And if we do care about what God has to say concerning life and love and about himself, we will seek to understand him in his word. And whenever he throws up something for us, a red flag in our life, we don't deflect. We don't shield ourselves from what God tells us. Because if we're constantly deflecting and shielding ourselves, how can we ever become what God is trying to make of us? First and foremost, his. A voice who will stand out in the world and say, Jesus lives. You ask me how I know? Because he lives within my heart. How can you be born again if you can't receive the Word of God? If you abide in my Word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And that's the question that he was going to ask the people coming up. He said, why don't you understand me? What an important question that is for God to ask of his creation. Why don't you understand me? You know, we've looked at these other questions. Why are you hiding from me? What have you done? Why are you so angry? Who do people say that I am? Do you believe I can do this for you? Do you believe I came to bring peace to this place, to this earth? And now why don't you understand me? All of these questions are directed from the beginning of creation throughout the time that Jesus walked on this earth, this very place that he created of his own doing and with his own people that he created and all of us, and he spoke directly to them and he speaks directly to us through the Holy Spirit and through the words that are given. Why don't we understand him? What is it that keeps us from seeing and from hearing? He says, if we will get in his word, if we will abide by his word, then we shall become his disciples indeed. And we will know the truth. And the truth will set us free. But our natural response is this: I've never been in bondage to anyone in my life. I've never been in bondage, period. My friends, if you got a credit card, you're in bondage. Have you got a power bill and you can't go without the air condition? You're in bondage. How many of you go a day without eating a meal? You're in bondage to the needs of the flesh, to the needs of what everyday life is, to the needs of those who provide and control what you can have, to those who determine what you will pay for it. There's only one thing that you are not in bondage to, and that's yourself. And in your strength, in your ability to hear God, because he's calling, you can decide. The world doesn't decide for you. In that moment, this is where your strength in you can come to play. You can listen when God calls. You can listen. You can turn the radio off. You can turn the computer off. You can turn the volume of the world off, and you can stop and you can listen. And if God is saying to you, why don't you understand me? You can stop and hear that and say to yourself, maybe I don't hear him the way I should. Maybe I do need to ask myself why I am not listening to him. Maybe I do need to step back and look at myself again in the way that God looks at me, not the way that the world looks at me. But let me tell you what the difference is. Because I have never met anybody perfect. Have you in this world? Except myself, of course. How many of you love to get up and sing that song in the morning? Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble. I get better looking each day. Can't wait to look in the mirror. That's all I got to say. Humility is what we need. Because there is one greater than us. There is one who sees us for who we truly are. We can make ourselves look good in the world, in the eyes of the world, but when we stand before God, he's not looking for all of the sparkly that we try to put on. God is looking for who we are. He sees us through all of that exterior surface material. And He sees into our heart. He is a discerner of our thoughts and intents of our hearts. And that's where He's trying to get to. He's trying to get to our hearts. I've never met anybody that's perfect. And the world will tell you if you fail, you are a failure and you don't even need to try anymore because you can't do it. Where would people be in life if they just gave up every time they failed in trying to achieve something? Where would the world be if God gave up on creation because somebody disobeyed in the garden? Somebody killed their brother. Somebody hung him from a cross. You see, the world is looking at how bad we are and is reminding us there's no hope. But God is not looking at how bad we are. He's looking at who we can be after that is washed away through the forgiveness of sins. He's looking for potential. The world is telling you your potential is done. You're finished. Have another drink. Go have fun and live while you can because it'll all be over soon. But God is pleading and He's crying out for us to come and to find peace with Him and to get our lives fixed in Him so that the truth can be known, so that we can be free. Why don't we understand Him? Why don't we understand Him? This crowd, they were standing there, and in this length of conversation, they had a response. They said to Him, well, our father's Abraham. Abraham is our father. And you know what they're doing? They're reaching back into their past, and they are certainly the people of promise through Abraham. But not just them, all of us in Christ are the promised people in Abraham. Because God said to Abraham, your children will be like the sand on the beach. You can't even count the number of people who will come to glory in God through you. Speaking of Christ, He wasn't just talking about the Jewish nation. But they are the promised people. That is where God begins His work to show us how He can work through them and how He can help and heal and make a life for those who are the most rebellious people in the world. Oh, I've got some hard-headed family too, though. How about you? Amen. And amen. But God loves us all. And He is trying to bring us to peace with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. So we can't deflect and say, well, Abraham is my father. God had made a promise through Abraham that there was a time coming. And there are prophecies throughout all of the Old Testament that there is a Messiah that is coming. And there is hope that is coming with Him. And there is life that is coming with Him. And He's standing before them. And He's asking them, why can't you understand who I am? Why can't you understand what I say? And they say, well, Abraham's my daddy. He asked them another question or made another statement. He said, well, if Abraham's your father, then do what Abraham did and love me. You want to kill me. Well, we're not born in fornication. They're doubling down now. Y'all know what doubling down means? They think they got four aces in their hand. He's got all aces in his. The deck is stacked. When it comes to God, you can't beat Him. You can't bet against Him. You can't double down against God. It does not work. You will lose the pot. And if you don't know what's in the pot, go home and look in the mirror and see if you can look into your eyes and see your soul. Because your soul is what will be lost. They say the eyes are the mirror to the soul. Sometimes you can look at people and you can see the hurt and the pain in their soul through their eyes. Have you ever seen that? God sees it when He looks at all of us. And He's trying to help us and save us and to keep us alive with hope. They doubled down. We're not born of fornication. How would you like to have really been standing before God and say to God Himself, "You're a bastard child"? Boy, that kind of doesn't sit well, does it? Do you know that's what they were saying? We know who our Father is. Our Father is Abraham. Well, if Abraham's your father, then you would love me. Why are you trying to kill me? Well, we're not born in fornication. God is our Father. How ugly can we be in the face of God and not have Him just smite us down? He didn't smite them down, did He? He still had mercy on them. He still had compassion on them. But He told them the truth. Oh, you say God is your Father? Let me tell you who your Father really is. You are of your Father. Your Father is the devil. And he's a liar. And he has been a liar from the very beginning. There is no truth in him. He is the father of lies. When he lies, he is speaking from his own resource. But when we claim to know God, we're claiming something entirely different, aren't we? And shouldn't we be showing that? Shouldn't we be trying to live that? Oh, I know there's failure in life. I told you, there's nobody that's perfect. And let the world know you are a Christian and they are going to be watching for many things. But first and foremost, they're going to be watching for you to fail. Because they love to tell you when you have failed, because it makes them righteous in their own eyes. Because they're better than that, you see. When the truth of it is this, all of us have sin. All of us need salvation. All of us need to see Jesus for who He is, and not tuck away some memory like these in that crowd were doing. They tucked away memories of what they were taught about Abraham. They tucked away memories about all of the things that they had been taught about God and what He was going to do for them when they came. That's why they expected the Messiah to come and to lift Israel up and establish His kingdom then and there and to do justice for them against all of those Gentile folk. And I don't know, if you're not Jewish in here, you're a Gentile folk. You're one of them. You're one of those they wanted to be smacked down. You're one of those they wanted to see destroyed. You're one of those they wanted to have punished by the hands of God. And God was trying to save us all. Amen. Abraham's our father. Oh, better than that, I'm not born of fornication. God's my Father. And they were deflecting. They were deflecting to some memory of what they had been taught as they were growing, but they weren't reflecting on the memory of who they were, who they are. And Jesus' question is quite simple for all of us. We need to stop and listen to it. Why don't we understand what He's saying to us? Why is it that we can stand in church and say these kinds of words, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you"? Why is it that we pull on these kinds of words in Scripture and yet we don't hear the truth of what God is saying in our everyday life? Why are we living in sin? Just pick one. It doesn't matter. Why are we promoting sin? Why are we justifying sin? Why are we complacent with sin? I know why. Because it's too easy to be silent when you know somebody can point back at you. And what I'm saying is all of us need to consider this. When we know we have sin in our own lives, we don't say a word to anybody else. You know why? Because we don't want them saying anything back to us. And God's calling us to be stronger than that. He's calling us to be better than that. He's calling us to live without a spirit of fear and timidity. He has said to us, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In you than he that is in the world. And by the way, let me tell you, every time I've read the Scripture, I've never read anywhere where Jesus said, oh, by the way, if you stumble along the way, pick yourself up, because I'm done with you. Have you ever seen that? I have never found that in Scripture. You know what? I am thankful that I have never found that in Scripture. You know why? Because I would not be telling you there's hope in Jesus if I had ever found that in Scripture. But I'm telling there is hope in Jesus, because you can stumble even after you are His and have found life in Him. There is hope, because you will have moments of weakness. You will have that battle that rages every day in your life. The old man against the new man. The old woman against the new woman. The spirit against the flesh. Because they are not compatible when one is changed into the image of God. And one is still being sanctified to become like the image of God. It's a battle. It's hard. There's a lot of buffing that takes place. You got to get that shine just right. About the best thing I know to compare it to, when Jane and I were married, we had a car. She had bought a 1980 Ford Mustang. Great car. For a while anyway. Paint got old. Heat beating down on it. Faded. You couldn't get it to shine for nothing. And I took one night, I was going to wax that thing. Oh my goodness, I wish I'd have never started that job. How many of you have ever waxed a car where the paint was dead? Have you ever tried to buff out all the oxidation on a painted car to try to bring it back alive so it has at least a little glimmer of sparkle and shine in it? It's work. It's hard. But I persevered. I pushed through. And it was well into the evening before I drove back to our little apartment. I left Jane at the apartment, had gone up to this car wash. I was spraying it and buffing it, spraying it and buffing it. I never did get it to look good. It looked better, but it didn't look good. You know, isn't that our life at times? Isn't that our life at times when we are living against God and our life gets so ugly, we don't think it can ever have that shine again? God will never give up trying to buff out that oxidation. God will never give up trying to get rid of that wicked way. God will never give up on trying to make sure you know there is peace and hope in your life. God will never give up. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get weary. He doesn't sleep. And He always listens. So that's why it hurts when he turns around and asks me that question. Why don't you understand what I'm telling you? Is it because you're not listening to me? Is it because you have set other priorities ahead of me? Is it because you don't believe in me? We can't deflect. We can't deflect on people in our past and who they were in the presence of God or in the hands of God. Our life is what we have to see. They can't call on Abraham to be their father. We can't say, well, my mama taught Sunday school her whole life. We can't call on any of that. It's deflection. We have to say of ourselves, He has saved me because I heard Him when He called. And I did not run. I did not look at what others had done in my life. I looked at where I had failed myself. And I said to God, that's a lot of work here. He said, let's get started. Let's get started. And I said, thank you, Father, for loving me, for hearing me, even when I was not hearing you. Even when I was not hearing you. I want to leave you with this verse. Jesus said in John chapter 14, do you believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Do you believe? Who do you say that Jesus is? If you haven't understood Him to this point, why haven't you understood Him? Do you not understand what He's saying? Listen a little better. Let God have a word with you. It starts like this. Come, let us reason together, you and I. Come, let us reason together. Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Have you heard the call of the Spirit? Has God touched you? I'm not asking you if you had an emotional moment. I'm asking you if you had a life moment. A life moment. Because they're different. Jesus says it's different. People in the crowds, they didn't understand what He was saying. Here's a small crowd here today. Do you understand what He says? Do you understand what He says? Without Jesus, there is no hope. And there is no life. Yes, you can have fun here in this world. Yes, you can have a place among the crowd in this life here. But when this is said and done, will all of this be worth what you left behind? If you're listening to God, you will hear the truth to that without me even telling you. Because God says this, what is it worth to a man that he should gain the whole of the world but lose his soul? Do you believe that Jesus is in the Father and the Father is in Him? Then make room for Him so that the three of you can commune together in peace, in joy, and with hope that comes in the new life He brings. Will you come today while the altar is open? Father, I thank You again for the day that we've had. I thank You for the celebration of our nation. But Father, I know our nation has fallen far from You in so many ways. It has turned against You in so many ways. And it has rebelled and pushed against You in so many ways. But Father, I ask for forgiveness for me and for my nation. I ask for help and healing for me, for us as a people, and for us as a nation. Lord, I ask that You hear us and that You help us. And I pray too, Father, if there is one here who does not know You as Lord and Savior, Lord, today they will understand what You're saying and find that peace with You. I ask it to Your glory alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The altar is open. Will you come?